So I want to talk to you today. Edgar, could you go in the kitchen and grab me a loaf of bread? There should be some bread back there somewhere. I want to talk to you today about being strong. Somebody say being strong. And I like doing this because it just is fun to me. So let me tell you the sermon title today. You ready for this? And I like doing this because you have a choice. You can, how many like choices? You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, I get a choice of, you know what? And so, you know what? Many of you will barbecue tomorrow and you'll be able to have a hot dog or a hamburger or maybe some barbecue chicken. Somebody said some ribs, amen. how many like choices, amen? So here's all I'm saying. So my sermon title today is You Choose. Yeah, that's good. Good, thank you. Good. Okay. So sermon title today is The Joy of the Lord is My Strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Don't give away your power. I don't have to have my way to have a good day. You choose. It's a smorgasbord of wisdom today. Hallelujah. But you choose. I want to talk to you today about doing what many people do, losing control. Ooh, that's another good one. Don't lose control. Because here's the reality. The reality is we wake up, let me just talk about in the morning. We wake up in the morning, or when you get born again, either way, you're filled with joy. And then in the course of time, How many wake up happy? Oh, come on. Okay. For the rest of you, we'll pray for you, okay? I'm just saying. I believe that both sides of the bed should be the right side of the bed. Amen? Amen. I believe there shouldn't be a get up on the wrong side of the bed. And I'm getting way ahead of myself, but here's why I believe that. I believe that because we make choices. See, you know, what we need to get gone from the day is of where you allow, you know what, how you feel to dictate how your day is going to be. That is a wrong mentality, and you might have gotten it from just society who thinks that life has got to control you. No, you've got to control life. Amen? And so you wake up, and let's just say, man, you're just in a happy mood. But in a course of time, see, this is your life, and you're strong, and you're mighty, and God's got all kinds of potential. He's got all things. Listen, He's got assignments for you to do, and for you to do that assignment, you know what? Again, let me just quote that scripture. You know what, in the Old Testament, the joy of the Lord is your strength. God's joy is your strength, and you have that joy. You have the Holy Spirit inside you. If you're born again, the Bible says the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. That's a spirit of strength. How many know that's a spirit of strength? But in the process of a day, you know what, things happen to you. How many recognize things happen to you? And what you do is you start giving away your strength. Because when you give away your joy, you give away your strength. And so somebody cuts you off. And you're a little less strong. You know what? And then you know what? And then you know what? Somebody says something mean to you at work. You know what? And then your spouse calls you and reminds you what you didn't do yesterday. Right? And then you come home and the room that was supposed to be cleaned by your lovely angels isn't, you know, they not only didn't clean up their room. I tried to read that. They not only didn't clean up their room, but they messed up the rest of the house. Are you catching this? And so, situation after situation just keeps on grinding you until the whole purpose, until, how many ever feel like this?
Yeah.
Until. And listen, and there's no joy. Because that which God intended to happen to you, you have allowed Satan to come in and steal. See, this is not what God intended. This is what God intended. And here's what you need to understand. It's possible for you wake up in the morning and be strong in the Lord. But listen to me very carefully. It's not only possible, God is telling us and telling us this morning at the end of the day, this is how you should be. You say, Pastor, thank you, not in pieces. Where you have allowed your joy to be pieced out from people and situations that are real. Here's the thing. Listen to me very carefully. I'm going to show you in the Word today. This, you can't speak into a mic, okay? Hey, we need a sound check back there. What's the matter? Okay. This is not the will of God for you. I'm not saying any of these situations that happen. I'm not saying they're not real. What I'm saying to you, and I'm going to show you in the Word of God, is this in your life should not be acceptable. And what I'm saying to you is this, that when things happen to you, you are the one who is allowing those things to steal your joy. And when he steals, when you allow Satan or the world or family members or traffic or crazy people who drive not like you drive, but the truth is you drive like that too, you just don't recognize it. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. What I'm saying is when that happens, you know what? It takes away from you, and here's what I want to say. You are allowing that to happen to you. You are allowing that to happen to you. I wanted to show you a clip today, and what I intended was for it to be a clip of, like, you know what, gunfighters, you know what I mean, and the, you know what, get out there. And what I wanted to show you is that how quick are you to shoot? Some of you are way quick to shoot, you know what I mean? And it doesn't take hardly anything, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's like you're fat, you know what I mean? And you have developed this characteristic. It's who you have become. I am smiling, aren't I? I'm silent, right? And it's ugly. It's ugly. And it is. But I Googled you know what, gunfights, and I expected to see, you know what, John Wayne and something. That's not what I saw. What I saw, it was the first one that came up, and it was a guy, and he owned a jewelry store. He opened the jewelry store in the morning. It was Valentine's Day. Two guys come in. He didn't think any of it. You know what? He said, hey, you know, people are buying jewelry for their wife or their girlfriend all the time on Valentine's Day. And he said, he showed him a ring, and it was worth $12,500 for one ring. And the guy had specifically what he wanted, and he came in and he said, yeah, let me see that ring. He looked at the price tag, and you know what, and looked at the ring, and he said, no, that's not what I have in mind. And he put it back on the counter, and the guy thought he was thinking, and he narrates this whole thing as how what he's thinking. And he narrates and he says, I was thinking, well, you know what, I'm going to show him something else. And as he was taking that ring, two guys, but one of them put his hand in his trench coat, and he pulls out a gun, and he puts that gun right in the guy's face. Now, here's what the phenomenal thing was. Here's what the guys who came in didn't know. They robbed the wrong guy that day, because this guy was a Vietnam vet who was not unaware of having bullets fly by his face. And that's who they robbed. And it was so interesting, because as the guy is narrating the story, he says this. It's so interesting. He says, when the guy put the gun in my face, I was sad. Listen to this part. Because he said, I recognized I was going to have to shoot these guys. That's what he said. He said, I was sad because I recognized I was going to have to shoot these guys. Now, how many know that's a different mentality? Here's what I'm saying. Stop thinking that situations in our lives have got to take away our joy, because Satan is systematic. And here's what he recognizes. If he can take away your joy, he can take away your strength. That's why that's what he goes to. And we are susceptible to this. We, instead of, you know what, bringing the fight back to him, instead of walking in love with people who are around us, which is our calling, the Bible says they'll know us by our love. It's what we're called to do. Instead of walking in that anointing and walking in the fullness that God has got for us, we allow these situations to affect us, and we end up like this. Incredible to watch this. This guy takes the gun, and he takes the gun and he just pushes it aside, and then he goes to get his gun. And when he goes to get his gun, he comes up firing. He's not messing around. He is not messing around. The one guy gets shot. The other guy runs to his car, gets in his car, and speeds away. And he is out there, and this guy's down, but he says later on he had a gun right underneath. He still had, the guy who got shot had his gun right underneath his chest. So he's not sure what this guy's going to do, because, you know what, he's shot, but he's not dead. And so he's trying to get some attention to somebody, flag somebody down in the parking lot or something, and still make sure he doesn't have any bullets left in his gun. But here's what he's telling this guy who's down on the ground. He's telling him, you know what? You thought you were going to come in and rob me? And I did not notice the attitude that this guy had. He is talking to this guy who intended to come in and take his stuff. That owner, the owner owns the jewelry in the jewelry store. That's his. He bought it. And he's selling it to you at a price marked up to make a profit. But all that belongs to him. And he's telling that guy on the ground, you thought you were going to steal from me? See, Pastor, what's your point? Here's my point. My point is, we get upset with so many things that we're not called to be upset about anything. Are you hearing me? And what it does is, as we freak out on this person and freak out on that person and upset at this and we're upset at this, it's stealing, it's taking our joy just piece at a time. But recognize, as you get upset at this person and that person, that person, and know they really, your pastor, but they really did that stuff. I know they did that stuff. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm not trying to teach you that things aren't going to happen to you. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, when things happen to you, why do you allow that to steal your joy? Because when they steal your joy, when it steals your joy, it's stealing your strength. Watch this. And you're more susceptible to the next person coming off and stealing your joy. Why? Because you're smaller. You got less strength. Because what's your strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so each person that's robbing you of your joy, you're getting less strong and less strong and less strong, and you're becoming, listen to me, susceptible to more harm. Does anybody know anybody like this? I didn't say you're sitting next to them. I said, does anybody know anybody like this? And it doesn't take much to set them off. What is that? Here's what that is. They're the example. They're the quick. You know what? But see, you need to be the kind of person. You need to be the kind of person that says, no. I'm waking up with joy. And I'm keeping my joy through the whole day. I will not allow any person, any situation, any circumstances to dictate my joy. I decide to be joyful today. All right. Are you catching this?
Yes.
Well, let's look at a couple of passages real quickly. First, Nehemiah 8:10. And then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. How many know this day is holy to the Lord? How many tomorrow is holy to the Lord? See, every day is a day that you've been given by the Lord to serve him and to be witness in this place. You are to be witnesses. You're to be witnesses in Pico Rivera that God is big and he lives big inside you, and that you are bigger than your circumstances, that you control your circumstances. Your circumstances don't control you. For this day is holy to the Lord, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not sorrow. Yeah, but Pastor, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. Look at all what happened. So what? Don't sorrow. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Most of you know this. A merry heart does good like a medicine. A merry heart. Say a merry heart. You ever had something, you know what, something that was wrong with you, something that was not working right? You took some medicine, and in a short period of time, you're like, oh, I feel better. Okay. That's what a merry heart does. It's effective, is what the Bible's saying. It's effective. John chapter 14 and verse 27. John chapter 17, verse 27. Look what Jesus says. Peace I leave you. My peace. Somebody say, my peace. What's that? It's a supernatural peace. It's not common. It's supernatural. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. You know, you ever bought something and, like, you know what, 4 months later it was broken already? Hello? You know, speaking of losing your peace, my wife asked me, can you put up a fan? I'm like, sure, honey, no problem. So I start to put this fan together, and it's got a longer piece, but then it's got a shorter piece. And you should be able to interchange the longer piece or the shorter piece. And I would be able to interchange the longer piece and the shorter piece, except the shorter piece has a hole in it, and they put the hole in it, but when they put the hole in it, they drilled it a different dimension than they should have. It is too small. Well, Pastor, what'd you do? Well, I just went to Home Depot and, you know, and was going to find the screw. Tell the guy, you know what, said, we don't have a screw to fit this. You know, they got 30,000 screws, but they don't got a screw to fit that. See, how many know this can start messing with you, right? So then I said, man, I am messed up. Look what they did. And so he said, well, let me check and see if they have that fan, you know what I mean? Because I'll be willing to take and you know what, get the right one for you, you know what I mean? Because I'm sure it was just a mistake. So we go to get the fan. Guess what? They don't have the fan. Hello? You know what? And it's listen, stuff like this happens to all of us every single day. I mean, no, this is true. Happens to all of us every single day. You know what? God gives peace, and let me tell you what, it's not dysfunctional. It doesn't have to be given back. It works. And it works the first time. If you'll work it, it works. It's a peace that you have. And if you will not give it away, you know what? Because of these, you know what? What did I do? I just thought, well, I'm gonna ask Angel to figure it out, you know, because he's smarter than me. But what's my point? My point is, I can't afford to be freaked out. I can't afford to be bummed out. I can't afford to say, you know what? I took the time to come over here to Home Depot and figure this out, and I took all this time, and I'm leaving empty-handed. I can't afford to do that. Why? Because there's something else coming up. And what if you call me? Say, Pastor, I need prayer. Oh, I'm too freaked out because of a screw at Home Depot. Hello? How many know this stuff is affects our life? And then now we go home and we freak out on our wife and we freak out on our kids, and we're just very weak emotional vessels, and we're not called to be that. So God says, no, let me tell you what, I've given you this peace, but it's supernatural peace. Watch this. So interesting. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh. Look very carefully at this phrase and tell me what word am I going to go to? How many think let? Okay, you're all right. That's exactly where I'm going to go to. Here's why. Because our society wants to blame everybody else for our problems. One of the biggest problems with life right now as America is we blame everything on everybody else. And I'm not saying that we don't have situations. You know what? I like what I heard one person say. He said, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to what happens to you. Hey, stuff happens to all of us. I can walk around and go, I'm the only one who got this, you know what, fan that was messed up. How many know, for sure, I'm not the only one who got a fan that was messed up. For sure. How many got a fan or something that was messed up? Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I like what one version said it like this. This same verse said this: stop allowing yourself to be upset and be disturbed. Stop allowing yourself to be upset and be disturbed. Three things I want to point out in this passage. One, peace is a choice. Somebody say peace is a choice. Peace is a decision. It's a choice. You either make a decision that whatever is going to happen to you is going to upset you, or you're going to say, no, I'm not going to allow it. Allow it. See, that's what Jesus is saying. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Let is an indication that it's your choice. You don't have to let it. But how many times, how many recognize, man, we let all kinds of things upset us. Number one, we've got to recognize peace is a choice. How do we know that? Because Jesus, who knows the truth, is telling you, you know what? Let not your heart be troubled. It's a choice, number one. Number two, the things that are upsetting you right now, they don't have to. Come on, how many came the right day? How many raise your hand and say, Pastor, oh, that word is for me. I needed to hear that. The thing, listen, according to this verse, how many believe Jesus is the truth? He is the truth. He's the way. He's the light. He speaks the truth. The only thing he speaks is the truth. And Jesus says, you know what? Don't be afraid. Let not. That let is indication that the very thing that is upsetting you right now doesn't have to upset you. How many is that good news for somebody? It's good news. Does the Bible say God goes before you and makes a crooked path straight? Does the Bible say God will go before you and make the crooked path straight? Yeah, but the path isn't straight right now. I know. But we walk by faith, not by sight. And you're getting all upset, and at the end of the day, the path is going to be straight. Amen. What's Satan trying to do? He's trying to take your joy. He's trying to take your joy. And how many would recognize, to some extent, Satan has done a pretty good job at it? Well, today is going to change. Because that's why it's so important that you never miss church. Can you imagine you missing this sermon? Number one, peace is a choice. Number two, the things that are upsetting you right now, they don't have to. Number three, people getting in a rut. How many know people get in a rut? Watch this. Let me prove it to you. We don't have time, but I'll just tell you this. There's a great cartoon. You can Google it when you get home. And it's this cartoon that they made, and it's Goofy. And Goofy is this nice man. And he comes out. He's all proper. He says hi to his neighbor and, you know, doesn't step on an ant. And he's just this really, really kind man. But he gets in his car, and when he gets in his car, he freaks out, and he gets ugly, and fangs come out and stuff like that. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. How many of you ever experienced this? Somebody that you know, and don't tell me who. I'm serious. Don't tell me who. This happened to me so many times. Somebody real nice and real sweet. They're Christian. They love God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then I'll ride with them to go somewhere. And I'm like, come on. Am I the only one who has witnessed that? It's like, man, you shouldn't be waving with that middle finger up. That is not an appropriate wave. Come on, I mean, that's not appropriate. You know what? You got your Bible on the dashboard. What are you doing? Amen. You know what? They're all like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then all of a sudden they get in their car and they're driving and words are coming out that are totally inappropriate. What are you doing? Well, let me tell you what they're doing. That is a, you know what that is? Let me tell you what's going on. That's a stronghold in their life. You know, the Bible says give no places to the devil. But when they get in their car, they have in whatever, I mean, it's kind of freaky, is it not? And they get in the car, and all of a sudden, they're acting like the devil. And watch this. How many know that's not the first time that's happened? How many know if they're willing, and you think, watch, follow me with this. What are they doing? Why do they think they have the right to do that? Or say it like this. Why are they doing that in front of you? Don't just think about it. That's a good question, isn't it? Why would they act this way in front of you? And listen, and maybe they're not flipping people off, but you can tell there's something happened. There's a change. It's like, what's going on here? You know what I mean? That's what happened. Here's what happened. They gave a place to Satan, and Satan took it. Here's what's freaky about that. Those same people, and I know none of you are like that. I know you are Christian all the time. Somebody say all the time. Okay. But listen, they gave a territory to Satan, and he took that territory. And the reason why they're acting that way in front of you in the car is because they're out of control. How many of you are connecting the dots? See, listen to me. When your irritation of me takes a joy, when it's a screw or a bed not made or anything, you ever gone to look for something and you go to, and you know you put it right there? And when you go to, and it's not there? And you only have a little bit of time anyway? And you know, is someone else in the house? Hello? Well, here's what I'm saying. See, Here's what I'm saying. People get into a rut, and follow this, what's going on. Look, let me quote to you. Actually, guys in the back, go there, John 10:10. And I could quote it, but I want to show it to you because I want you to see the order here. John 10:10. Guys, as quickly as you can in the back. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to, here's what I want you to notice. Look at the order. To steal, to kill, and destroy. I've said this, pointing this out to you. Not only is every word inspired, but the order of the words are inspired. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. The first thing that he wants to do is he wants to steal your joy. Because once he steals your joy, you're susceptible to being killed and your whole life being destroyed. And he does that. What's your strength? Somebody say joy.
Joy.
What's your strength?
Joy.
What's your strength?
Joy.
What's your strength? Say it five times. What's your strength?
Joy, 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 joy.
Why? I want to get that in your head. Because today, something's going to happen. You know, you're going to go, you're going to order a pizza. A pepperoni pizza. And you're going to get it. And it's going to have the sauce on it. It's going to have the pepperonis on it. But it's not going to have any cheese on it. How many of you are like, really? Really? You're too busy talking on your phone to put cheese on my pizza? See, Pastor, you're talking about that like you know what you're talking about. One time, true story, one time Tamara and I ordered a pizza, and the pizza came, and it had a little cheese. It had no cheese on it. Somebody forgot, and I'm thinking, how does somebody box this and not go, hey, obviously, how do you forget the cheese? But how do you cut it and box it? How does this happen? And what I'm telling you is something's crazy going to happen today. And maybe a lot of crazy things are going to happen to you. Here's what I'm saying. Understand. Make a correlation between strength and joy. And you can, listen. How many know? Listen to me. Understand Satan's plan. How many know you could eat a pizza without cheese? It's not going to hurt you. But how many know, you know what? One more fight with your wife is not okay. One more freaking out, you know, to your son is not acceptable. One more, I can't even pray. I'm just so frazzled. I mean, no, that's not what God has called you to. And what am I really talking about? I'm getting ahead of myself, so I don't want to do that right now. But what I'm saying is this rut. Somebody say rut.
Yes.
It's, you know what it is? It's a stronghold that you've allowed to come into the car. And let me tell you about Satan. Satan will love every single time you get in the car and freak out. But watch this. But he's not satisfied with just the car. And the same person, here's what's kind of, I need to give you this warning. Here's what you need to be careful. That same person that'll freak out in the car, in 6 months, they'll freak out at Home Depot. See, watch this. Satan will take that stronghold and he'll move it outside of the parameters of the car. Because he wants to expand his authority. Well, he has no authority, but you give it them. But he wants to expand his influence. He wants to expand his kingdom, and that's what he's doing. Are you catching this? All right, now I got four quick points. Number one, God wants us to be compassionate, not judgmental. I would say compassionate, not judgmental. Listen. The people who have short wicks, the people who are quick to shoot at you, the people who, you know, when you do that, what you are showing is judgment towards people that you don't even know what's going on in their life. You know, how absolutely ridiculous it is for someone to work at a pizza place not to put cheese on that pizza. Right? Very judgmental. Now, that's not judgmental. That's a no-brainer, Pastor. You know, no. That's very. Here, watch this. have you ever got some bad news, particularly about a family member, or something happened, and you know you're doing all kinds of things that are crazy. Is it crazy to think that maybe that person who was making the pizza, you know what? Maybe the people are cutting the pizza. Maybe they're just having a bad day. Maybe a catastrophic day. And you just so happen to be the person. See what I'm saying? But what we start to do as we start to just set up, it steals our, watch this, it steals our joy. And as it steals our joy, it steals our strength. And as it steals our strength, you know, you show me somebody who's not judgmental, and I'll show you somebody who's strong in the Lord. And so you become like, oh, they're like, you know, in high school, I hate to admit this, but you know what? I hung out with the swimmers and the water polo people. You know what I mean? And we'd all hang out. And one of the things we'd do is somebody would walk by and we'd go, man, you believe their haircut? And I'd say, that's freaky. You know, like they didn't walk and like they didn't. And we'd just, for 5 minutes, we're just going to rip on somebody's hair. You know what I mean? And then somebody else would walk by and they were like, man, are those pants crazy? You know, what in the world? You know what I mean? They still wearing pants like that? Are they crazy? And we talk, and you know, it's just constant, just, you know, I mean, immature. You know what? You know, we're the water polo people. We're the cool people. And everybody else are the dorks. You know what I mean? Hello? That's what our attitude was. We're the coolest, and everybody else is, you know what I mean? That group is. But can I tell you, that's what happens to us as we allow the joy of the Lord to steal our strength. We become weaker and weaker and weaker, and we become less spiritual. Watch this. We become more carnal and more carnal and more carnal. And next thing you know, everybody's an idiot. No, really. They drive bad, and you look bad, and you got a bad haircut, and what? You know, everybody is, do you understand? Make this correlation. Somebody who has a quick temper is a very judgmental person. And they're quick to judge. They're not quick to be compassionate. They're quick to be judgmental. Number one. Are you learning this?
Yeah.
You know, Pastor, you know what? I like kind of feel a little beat up today, Pastor. It's like, okay. Let me tell you why I'm telling you this. It's not to beat you up. It's to sharpen you up. Thank you. But it's to, listen, you know what it is? It's to locate where you're at. See, this person who's like this, they think they are absolutely rocking it. You know, I'm serious. If these stupid people would just start to get it together, I tell you what, my life would be better. Stupid. Wow, I did that good, huh? Pastor, it seemed like you really knew how to do that. Why did that come so easy on you, pal? Okay. But here's what I'm saying. I want you to locate yourself. I want you to recognize you don't have to end up your day like this. Can I tell you what? There should be no rips out of your bread. None. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. You're allowing Satan to take advantage of you. How are they supposed to know us? They're supposed to know us by our love. They're supposed to know us by our love. Can you be one of those people that when something crazy comes, you just say, it'll be okay. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They're probably just having a bad day. Make this correlation. Somebody who's quick to be angry, somebody who's quick to lose it, that's someone who's very judgmental, number one. Number two, when you do the right thing, when the wrong thing's happening, God sees it and he rewards you. Guys, when something goes wrong, stop seeing it like, oh, this is awful. Just see it. When somebody treats you bad and you treat them opposite, God loves it. He sees it. He sees you walking in love, and he's about to reward you. The Bible says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And you, watch this, and you sow peace in people's lives who don't deserve it. How many know God's smiling and saying, let me tell you what, I've got a peace coming to you that surpasses all understanding. You're going to start, listen, if you'll start to apply this, if you'll start to not allow circumstance to dictate to you, not allow anything to take away your joy, let me tell you what, you're going to start to walk in love, and you're going to start to walk in strength, and the one day will be on the next day, and the next day will be on the next day, and watch this, and you keep on, as you are giving, not what you get, but what you want, God sees that. When people treat you bad, you treat them with love. What happens is, is that coming back to you. And what happens is that adds to your strength. And you know what? You ever see these guys who like work out, you know what, like 4 hours a day, you know what? And eat, you know, wheatgrass for the other four. What are you doing? I'm walking. See, that's going to, watch this. That's going to be you, because in the spiritual realm, you're reaping what you sow and you're walking in peace. And God, as the same measure that you measure it out, it comes back to you. So now that peace is, it's like a snowball. It just keeps on adding to itself. What are you doing? I'm a mighty man of peace. Nothing can upset me. What does James say? When you count it all joy, knowing, see, we're talking about developing character. You are going to speak out of your emotions, or are you going to speak out of your character? And so what happens is you start walking in, you start reaping what you sow. Oh, James. James says, count it all joy when you go through various trials, knowing that this is testing your character. And let that man, you know what's going to happen? As he says, no, I'm going to see this as an opportunity. What happens is he sees it as an opportunity. He doesn't respond in anger. He responds in love. Now that joy is coming back to him, that peace is coming back to him. Now it's in greater measure. And the Bible says, now you are, one version says you're a perfect man. What that word means, perfect means, is it means you're a mature man. You can handle anything. How many know there's CEOs in America that have incredible responsibility, incredible pressure on them, and they're walking in a greater quality of life than, we're just talking about pizza, than the pizza man whose only responsibility is, you know what, get this pizza to, you know, 308 Rosemead Boulevard. You know what I mean? Well, and put cheese on it. Thank you. You say, how in the world can this guy walk in such peace and he's got so much going on, so many things that are going wrong are going on, and he's walking in peace, and this guy over here who hardly has any responsibility, he freaks out on something silly. Here's why. Because this guy, over time, has chosen, everybody say chosen, I am going to walk in peace. Peace is a choice. And here's what I'm saying. When you do the right thing, when the wrong thing's happening, God sees it, and he's going to reward you. Amen. Or you learned something. How many glad they came? Amen. See, here's what we do. Here's what we do. We think that God's commandments, here, we need a major shift in our thinking right now. We think that God's commandments are burdensome. So the Bible says, love those who hate you, pray for your enemies, right? And we think, oh, that's a hard one to do, Pastor. No. Can I tell you what's hard? What's hard is for you to continue freaking out on things that have no relevance really in your life. That's what's hard. Because it's causing, you know what it's doing? Man, I love you guys. It's driving you crazy. You are losing it. You're out of control. That's hard. Why? Now, because now all kinds of people in your life, but here's why that's so hard. Because now everything's got to go perfect in your day for you to have a good day. How many know that ain't not going to happen very often? But that, see, watch this. That's what's hard. You've set yourself up for misery every day and every day. And you just keep on thinking, you know what? No. You know what? The main calling that you're called to is to walk in love with unloving people. That's your main calling. That's not a difficult thing. What's difficult? Oh, see? See, even your mind, that's not, no, it's hard. Stop, no! What's hard is for you to keep on responding in like kind with that, how they act. Because now you're completely out of control. Now anyone can freak you out. Amen. I'll brag on Megan for a little while. You know what? One of the things that God has developed in Megan, and she has allowed God to develop in her, is she's got this demeanor that she's got character. She's developed character, and she's able to take things in her day that aren't perfect, and she just responds in a very joyous way. You say, yeah, but that's how God made her. Listen, God made all of us with different characteristic traits, but we are all responsible to walk in love. See, I'd say a lot of that just depends on her attitude to make a decision. She's going to just walk in love with people. Does that make sense? So you're like, oh, but I'm not supposed to, I don't like that. I'm a pastor. You know what? I ain't get upset all the time. That's who I am. Yeah. Well, stop it. Right? Stop it. Stop doing that. Stop giving them control. You're losing it. And you're losing your strength. And finally, and I'll end with this, our emotions, watch this, our emotions enslave us. Our emotions can enslave us, while godly character frees us. What do you want to be? You want to be a slave or you want to be free? Well, then live a life, understand that situations cannot dictate how you're going to be, that you're going to walk in love to everyone. Even if you've told them eight times, you know, these drive-thrus, don't go through a drive-thru because the food is usually really bad, unhealthy for you, number one. But number two, you know what? I mean, yeah, amen. It's frustrating. But are you going to allow yourself to be frustrated with that, or are you going to walk in love with those people? All right, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. Are you guys? Show me the pictures. Are you a moped? Are you a moped, or are you a bumper car? Okay. If your life is like a moped or bumper car, stay on the bumper car. See, the bumper cars are cool because when people bump into you, what do? You just laugh, man. It's like, woo, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, you're going into it. You know what? You ever in line for the bumper cars? You're like, this is going to be hard. You know what I mean? No, you're like, ooh. Come on, somebody. How many know when they only let so many people into the bumper cars? And what do you do when you're like almost there? What do? When do you run to the bumper cars? Do you run to the car real quick? I do. I mean, I want to get in. Why? Because it's fun. Your attitude is good. This is going to, listen, people, because here's the thing. People are going to bump into you all day long. Hello? You're like, man, you bumped into me. I'm going to jack you up. I'm going to jack you, man. Right? No. Not if you're in a bumper car. In your bumper car, you're just like, no, man, this is an opportunity for me to show the love of God. This is, listen, life is fun. I was talking to my wife just yesterday, and she said, you know what? Life is short. Man, life is short. We can't. Now, or, show me the moped. Or, is this your life? What's it? You said, what's a moped? A moped has literally no protection. Anybody hits you, and you're going to be upset about it. And somebody hits you, and you're going, so, you know what? So, Pastor, what did you learn today? I learned I'm either a moped or a bumper car. Amen. How many want to be a bumper car? How many are tired of the moped life where everything hurts you and you're upset about everything and you know what? It's everybody's fault. No. I like Joshua. Joshua, great example. And I was meditating on this the other night, and I thought, you know what, Joshua? He's thrown into this pit. Then Joseph, thank you. He's thrown into this pit, and then he's rescued by his brothers. But he's rescued by his brothers only so that they could make some money. And now, watch this. Now he has to be a slave. Now he's a slave. And then all he does is the right thing. And when he does the right thing, guess what? Now he's not he's not even a slave. Now he's in jail. He gets thrown in prison. And I thought, at what point in time being a slave did he think, man, my brothers, if I get a hold of them, how many have ever been hurt before? See, listen, for some of you, the reason why you're so reactionary is because there's pain in you and you haven't let it go. And you won't let it go. Because, well, you can do what you want, but here's what I would say to you. If you don't let it go, here's what's going to happen. You're going to stay enslaved. That's absolutely true. How many times was he in jail? In jail, thinking, and had the opportunity to curse his brothers and be absolutely upset with his brothers. In the years, and I think it was 12 years between the hole and the exaltation to Egypt. I could be wrong in that, but I think it was 12 years. In the 12 years, how many times do you think Satan threw his brothers in his face? But when you see Joseph at the end, you know what you see? You see a man who is loving to his brothers that absolutely were disgusting, cruel, absolutely cruel, in the worst degree. So I had some of you heard this story, but I was here. I knew that God had called us here. They were making a decision who was going to be pastor. It was going to take them over a year to make that decision, which that was really hard for me because I was like, because every week I thought, man, you know, every week it seemed to me like in some way they were saying, no, you're not good enough. Because I knew they were looking for other people too. I thought, you know what I mean? But I chose not to allow that to happen. And I chose to be, they needed some help. And you know what? And I could sing a little bit and had led worship before. So I thought, well, I'll see if, you know what, I could, you know, if they want to help in praise and worship. And they said, oh, absolutely, we want you to help in praise and worship. And back then, we sang a lot of hymns, and I loved the hymns. And I know it's important not to talk too much. You know, I mean, sometimes it's really important just to let the music happen. But I also knew it was important to encourage these people, and I would encourage them and just say, hey, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and let's stand up and let's say this, let's sing this, you know what, with recognizing what God has done for us or whatever. It's just short encouragement. And so that sounds okay, does it not? And so the pastor called me in the office one day, and he said, after church, he said, hey, you know, Drew, can I talk to you? I said, absolutely. So he comes in the office, and we sat down, and he smiled, and he said, hey, Drew, do you think you could sing those songs but not talk at all, just sing? And I kind of smiled because I knew something was up, and I said, and then he said, because somebody has come into my office, and they're concerned because they think that what you're doing is manipulative. and you ought to just sing. So, Pastor, what did you do? Well, I'll tell you what I wanted to say.
Go for it. Come on.
Here's what I wanted to say. I want to say, hey, Pastor, there is somebody coming into your office who is manipulating you, but it's not me. And let me tell you what you should have told that person who came in your office. You should have smiled at them and said, out, 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 out! Get out and stay out. You know what I mean? Because let me tell you what, we need the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. And I have not heard Drew say anything that wasn't biblical and quite frankly needed to be said in this church where we're singing songs and acting like we're not singing them. Out and stay out. Okay, that's what I wanted to say. Pastor, what did you say? I heard the Holy Spirit say, you know what? You be slow to speak. And in that process of just being quiet and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit showed me very quickly what was going on. That pastor was being manipulated. And that pastor should have said, out, 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 knock it off. That is absolutely uncalled for. That's what he should have said. How many of the Holy Spirit can show you things? And I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm just trying to be, you know what? And so when I was very judgmental towards that pastor, thinking, you know what? Be a man. Stand up. You know what I mean? Somebody needs to pastor this church, so pastor it, dude. That's what I wanted to say. But instead, being slow, the Holy Spirit gave me compassion for that man. And I thought, and I still thought, you should have said something. But I thought, he just doesn't have it in him to do that. Actually, he did, but how many know you make choices in your life? And he just has allowed that to take place. Hey, there's people in churches, and they'll tell you everything. Being a pastor is a hard job. Let me tell you what. Why? Because you've got to tell me, no, we're not doing that. No, we're not doing this. No, we're doing this, but we're not doing that. And it's hard because people are opinionated. One of the things that we have done, Tamara and I have done in this church, is we've made a decision that we're going to teach delegated authority. And I'm not teaching delegated authority to hold you down, you. That's not it. It's because the Word of God teaches delegated authority. And if nobody's in, if nobody's in charge, then you know what? The whole place is out of control. And the Bible says, let everything be done in decency and in order. Teach that everyone's important in your church. And teach that you're going to walk in love in this church. And teach, if you're going to talk, you know what? Then go in the closet and talk. Amen? You know, go over to Home Depot and buy a big piece of duct tape and put it right over your mouth. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Tamara and I aren't going to make every decision that's right, but I tell you what we are going to do. We're going to get on our knees and we're going to pray and we're sensing what the Holy Spirit is saying. And we're going to be strong in our leadership and say, hey, it is what it is. You know what I mean? I might be wrong, but we're going this way. Hallelujah. And if we're wrong, I'm going to trust that you're going to understand my heart. Amen. Does that make sense? And I had compassion for this pastor, not contempt. So what did you do, Pastor? I recognized, now is not the time to have this battle. Now is the time to be compassionate to that pastor. And I smiled at him and I said, absolutely. Oh, no, here's what I ask. I said, Pastor, I believe in delegated authority. I said, Pastor, what do you think? I don't care what this person thinks. What do you think? You're the person that I'm under, not him. And he might be manipulating you, but that's not between me and you. That's between you and God, and you're going to be held accountable for that. But I'm not going to judge you for that. I just want to know, what do you think, Pastor? And he said, I think you should probably just sing the songs. See, now what do I got? Now I got God's man in authority over me telling me what to do, and I got no problem with that. Amen, amen. Pastor, what'd you do? I smiled and I said, Pastor, I will be glad to do it. I'll do it just like that, no problem, with a good attitude. How many know you can do things with a bad attitude? And like God don't see it. Fine. No, I'll just sing the song. Now stand up. Let's sing Soldiers of God. No. God sees that. No, as God's my witness, I walked out and I thought, you know, I'm going to do it with a good attitude. Amen. Well, what did that pastor do? He got a big smile on his face. See, he's not used to somebody. You know, he's used to all kinds of people. That what churches had been in. You know what? People who think they could tell him what to do, and he's just bossed everybody around. He's being bossed around by everybody. That's why he had me in the office, because this person, he was used to that. They knew it. He wasn't used to somebody submitting to his authority. He smiled. He came around the desk. I'll never forget this. He came around the desk, the same desk that is now my desk. No, don't miss that. See, with the same measure that you measure out, it'll be measured back to you. Came around his desk, big smile on his face, gave me a big hug. And I knew, oh my goodness, he's not used to being treated with honor. And you know what? He's not used to that. And he's responding. He appreciates that. He wrote one of the kindest, I wish I had it, wish I could read it to you today. He had one of the kindest, highest letters of recommendation that he read to the congregation before they chose me as their pastor. Wow. And he's the one who wrote that. Nice. Praise the Lord. If something that has been said to minister to you, if you want to say, Pastor, I need to raise my hand, I need to repent, I need to, oh my goodness, that's me. I have lost it too many times. I've got a stronghold in my life and I need freedom for that right now. To some degree, to a big degree, to a little degree, I don't care. But I do know that this message is for someone. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father, you see the hands that are up. I thank you in the name of Jesus. I loose these people in the name of Jesus from their anger, from their bitterness, from their thinking that they cannot be in control. No, they can be in control by the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it. I thank you for their willingness to raise their hands. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.